Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O King Yudhisthira, many persons with varied experience, many legal advisors, many learned scholars, and many persons eligible to become presidents of learned assemblies fall down into hellish life because of not being satisfied with their position. Translation, please repeat. O King Yudhisthira, many persons with varied experience, many legal advisors, many learned scholars, and many persons eligible to become presidents of learned assemblies fall down into hellish life because of not being satisfied with their position. Purport. For spiritual advancement, one should be materially satisfied. For if one is not materially satisfied, his greed for material development will result in the frustration of his spiritual advancement. There are two things that nullify all good qualities. One is poverty, daridra dosha guna rasi nasi. If one is poverty stricken, all his good qualities become null and void. Similarly, if one becomes too greedy, his good qualifications are lost. Therefore, the adjustment is that one should not be poverty stricken, but one must try to be fully satisfied with the bare necessities of life and not be greedy. For a devotee to be satisfied with the bare necessities is therefore the best advice for spiritual advancement. Learned authorities in devotional life consequently advise that one not endeavor to increase the number of temples and months. Such activities can be undertaken only by devotees experienced in propagating the Krishna consciousness movement. All the acharyas in South India, especially Ramanuja Acharya, constructed many big temples, and in North India, all the Goswamis of Vrindavan constructed large temples. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also constructed large centers known as Gaudiya Maths. Therefore, temple construction is not bad, provided proper care is taken for the propagation of Krishna consciousness. Even if such endeavors are considered greedy, the greed is to satisfy Krishna, and therefore these are spiritual activities. Translation, O King Yudhisthira, many persons with varied experience, many legal advisors, many learned scholars, and many persons eligible to become presidents of learned assemblies fall down into hellish life because of not being satisfied with their position. Mukham karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yat krupa tamaham vande sri gurun dinatarinam paramananda madhavam paramananda madhavam. So, this part of Bhagavatam is very interesting. Very interesting subject. Here is being described that no matter what state of life we're put into, there will be dissatisfaction. You're going to be dissatisfied because you haven't got love for Krishna. Only those persons who have got love for Krishna are satisfied. I can tell you now. They're completely satisfied. Why? Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Vishaya vinivatante naraharasya dehina. Raso, what does it say? Raso vajam prasopyasa param dristva nivatate. That you may restrict your senses. You may restrict your senses from the objects of sense gratification. But your mind still has a taste for them. If the mind still has a taste for it, you can't actually do it. It's a pretender. Certainly they delude themselves like this. But one who restrains the senses and organs of action by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. He is fixed because he's getting something. He's getting something. He's satisfied. You understand? He's satisfied. Everybody is looking for satisfaction in this material world. They're all looking for satisfaction. But I used to remember one song of the Rolling Stones. What was it called? Can't get no satisfaction. I tried and I tried and I tried and I tried, but I can't get no satisfaction. Even they had so much money. Millionaires. The millionaires. Not satisfied. Not satisfied. Looking for satisfaction. Therefore, drinking. Drinking. Isn't it? They're getting drunk and taking drugs. You may question, if they got all that money, why are they going mad? They're going mad. They're going mad like this. Of course, we have examples of those who don't seem to go mad, like the Queen of England, the royal family like this. They're very pucker. Example like this. But Lady Diana went mad, didn't she? Like this. They cannot be satisfied. They cannot be satisfied. There is no satisfaction. It is compared to a drop of water in the desert. A drop of water in the desert. You are looking for satisfaction. You are looking for happiness, but the happiness in this material world is just like a drop of water in the desert. You are hankering for happiness. You want happiness. You want satisfaction. You're thinking you'll get it here in this material world. It's like a drop of water in the desert only. Though when you meet people on the street, you ask them how they are. Oh, yeah, I'm really good. I'm fine. What's the news? Oh, I got a promotion. Like this. Oh, I'm going to get married. Oh, I'm pregnant. Oh, congratulations. Congratulations. Like this. You see? Yeah, what do you mean? What do you mean? You know, sometimes we preaching, especially to young people, and we say, this material world is a place of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place, right? From the highest planet to the lowest, all are places of misery. And they listen to you and they go, nah, I'm enjoying myself here. I'm having a good time. What are you telling me it's a place of misery? It's not. We're having a party. We're having a party here. This is what they tell me. They tell me these things. We're having a party here. You understand? Why is it I'm not happy? These people are happy. These people are happy. They seem to be satisfied, don't they, with 9 to 5? They seem to be satisfied and happy, you know, working in their jobs. They seem to be, they're getting job satisfaction, aren't they? Like this. And then they feel so satisfied, they can go to the football match at the end of the week and cheer on their team. Like, that was a great match, but wow. And then they go down the pub, like this, and they feel totally satisfied. Well, how come I'm not feeling satisfied? They feel totally satisfied. So it's said that there's two kinds of people who are happy in this world. Two kinds of people are happy here. You know what they are? There's two kinds of people. There's those people who are completely ignorant. Completely ignorant. You understand? As the saying goes, ignorance is... They're completely ignorant. And they're happy. They're happy. Yeah. They feel themselves very satisfied and happy. Yeah. Ananda. They feel themselves blissful. Yeah. And then the other kind of person who is happy and has Ananda in this world, they're completely realized souls. Fully self-realized souls. You understand? They're on the spiritual platform. Brahma Bhutta Pasana Mana Sotati Nakangsati Sama Savasubhutesu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. They're on the spiritual platform. They never hanker, nor they lament. They're in Ananda. They're getting spiritual happiness. They're happy in this world. You understand? They're happy. And the people in between, they're neither fools, ignorant people, neither have they achieved the spiritual platform. They have not achieved the Brahman platform. They are miserable. Miserable. How are you, Prabhu? If I tell the truth, if I'm honest, I hate it here. This material world is a place of misery. I don't like it. Why? Why? What are we hearing in Srimad Bhagavatam? Because I'm burning in a fire, in a blazing fire. Samsara dhavana dalida loka. Oh, I'm burning in this fire of material existence. It's burning me. Lost. Lost. I'm worn out. I'm worn out from lusty desires. And greed. Greed. I'm always hankering. Always hankering. Never satisfied. I'm never satisfied. Doesn't matter what you give me. It doesn't matter what you give me. Just like a fish. I feel like a fish that's floundered onto the beach. Like a fish out of water. Huh? The example is given of a fish out of water. You may take the fish and the fish is flapping. Can never be satisfied. Nobody put him in a soft bed, give him a nice drink, you know, give him a nice cigar, huh? Nice restaurant, TV, huh? Naked dance show, anything, drugs. You'll never be happy. You'll never be happy. Never, no matter what you do here. No matter what you do here. You can't be happy here. Because this is not your real home. Huh? like a fish out of water. It's not natural. It's not natural. And I'm in semi-ignorance. I'm not complete. If I was in complete ignorance, I'd be happy. I'd be happy. Huh? Brainless. Brainless. You understand? Brainless, unconscious. Then I would be happy. But I've got some brain. Krishna gave me. I don't know what to do with it. He gave me a brain. You understand? He gave me this brain, but I'm unhappy because I don't know what to do with it. You know what kind of gift is this? He gave me free will. He gave me free will. You see? And how did I use it? You understand? He gave me free will. He gave me freedom to desire. Die. Radha Gokul Ananda. Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman. Shishi Gonitai Ki Jai. He gave me free will. It's a gift to me. You know? A gift. He gave me to desire whatever I like. And along with that, to think whatever I like. I can think whatever I like. Anything can come into this brain. Isn't it? Huh? And I can speak whatever I like. I can say anything I like. Anything. And I can do anything I like. Whatever I want, I can do it. With what I've got. I have independent desire, independent thought, independent speech, and independent action. I'm independent. Little part and parcel. Little part and parcel of Krishna. The tiny parts and parcels. Like this. And I'm using this thing according to my free will. But I've been dropped in the ocean of material existence. And I have to get out. You've been given all those things, but you've been dropped in the ocean of material existence. And as soon as you were dropped here, you were covered by ignorance. Right? Anybody who's born here, because you have to drop here, you have to take a body. You have to take some coverings. False ego, mind intelligence, and then the gross body, like this, so you can engage in activity. And as soon as you take your birth, it begins. You have to learn how to speak. You have to learn how to walk and talk. And along with these things of development of the body and the consciousness, you're in complete ignorance. You begin from ignorance. You're moving from ignorance as a child. A complete ignorance. Like that. It compared to like the growth of a flower, a lotus flower. It comes out of the mud at the bottom of the pond. Complete darkness. It's coming from complete darkness. And it grows through the water. Like that. And then finally comes to some level of consciousness. Budding consciousness comes out of the water, right? It is a very covered consciousness in the lower state. But as you come out of the water, your consciousness begins to develop, budding, and then starts to blossom. blossoming consciousness, like that. So in this human form of life is a budding consciousness, like that. We're coming to this state where we're becoming something aware. But most people are in ignorance. About 99% of them, Prabhupada would say, flapping dead bodies. They're just pushed here and there by the modes of material nature. They're just pushed here and there. They're just getting what they need to eat. They're sleeping. And that's all they're concerned with. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. And they're quite happy with it. But then they become more and more lusty. They develop more and more desire. They want more. They're not satisfied. They want more. They want to increase. And they become greedy. You became so lusty and so greedy and frustrated. Completely frustrated. Like this. And when the living entity becomes frustrated, he cries. Just like a child. The child grows. You understand? When you were a little child, you grew. And then you became lusty and greedy. And you said, I want it. I want this. I want this. I want this. I want this. And the reality was, no. You are not getting. So you cried, oh, mommy, give me. Daddy, give me. No. And I don't know how frustrated you were, but I was extremely frustrated. I screamed. And how did the parents reward me? Hey, shut up, you rascal! Give you a beating! Rascal, keep quiet. And I became more and more furious, more and more angry, and frustrated, and screamed, and kicked! Like this. Can you remember? And I had to get used to it. You have to get used to it. I was so frustrated. I could not fulfill my desires for unlimited satisfaction. I could never feel satisfied. You look at the children. They become... And the parents said, calm down. What's the matter with him? What's the matter with her? And then they start crying. Why? What's the matter with them? They're going through dissatisfaction. Feelings of dissatisfaction, acute feelings of dissatisfaction, acute, like that. And when you get older, some of us get it again. Depression. You know, I have to go see the doctor. I feel so dissatisfied. Oh, don't worry, we'll give you some tranquilizers or something. Antidepressant. Like this. Then you walk around all day. Because it's got its side effects. You know when they're on the antidepressants. Even some devotees take antidepressants. feeling depressed, feel dissatisfied, and burned out. Burned out. Fried. When I joined Krishna consciousness, it was, "How are you, Prabhu?" "I'm fried." "I'm fried, Prabhu. Fried." Like that. Fried to a crisp, they would say. Like that. Dissatisfied. Dissatisfied. We have these feelings. These feelings. I'm hankering after pleasure. I'm hankering after enjoyment. And because of that, I'm being burned by this lust. This lust. And even if I try to refrain myself, I try to refrain myself from sinful thinking. Sinful thinking. Dreaming. I can't. I'm deluded. I'm bewildered. I'm completely bewildered. No matter if I try to stop it, well, it just won't stop it. It's the most formidable enemy. The formidable foe. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Formidable foe. It's the most formidable foe. You can't overcome it. It's a lust. It's a lust. Burning like fire. Burning like fire. And Arjuna asks Krishna, "What is? How come a man of intelligence who's endeavoring to achieve success in life, he's trying to control his senses, he's trying to be good. I'm trying to be good. Still, he's overcome. And he's engaged in activity as if by force. He's forced. He can't help himself. He develops madness. It's a madness. And becomes bewildered. He becomes bewildered and he develops a greed for something that is not even desirable. And that's Maya's business. Maya's business is to bewilder you. That's her job. Thankless task. Thankless task. His business is to bewilder you. And to dangle so many things in front of your face. Like this. So that you are engaged like a slave to the modes of material nature. To the modes of material nature. Yeah. I remember a long time ago when I was a young boy, one of my friends, he showed me a tarot card. Tarot card. You know tarot cards? These cards that they tell fortune. And one of the cards is called the devil. The devil. You understand? It's an interesting card. He said, "Here, look at this. Have a look at this and think about what's in this picture." There was a picture of the devil. And at the devil's feet were some chains. And his followers were all chained to him. To the devil. The followers of the devil, they're all chained to him. But guess what? Look closer, he said, and you'll see that the links of the chains, there is no locks. There's no lock. They're open. The shackles are not locked. But they're shackled. But they're open. At any time they can be freed. But they appear to be shackled. They appear to be shackled. And I remember meditating on it. I was just a young boy. I was thinking, this is interesting. Now only when I'm getting old, I realize, how shackled I am to this material world. How shackled I am. And I take shelter of Krishna. I'm coming to Krishna to ask him to please help me. I tried, and all my endeavors were a failure. Now I come at the end of my life, and I know I'm a failure. I tried. Can't get no satisfaction in this material world. And can't get out either. Can't control it. Very, very difficult to control. Therefore, we come to Krishna for help. We're coming to Krishna for help. And we hear from Krishna's devotees. We hear from them. We put faith in them. And they teach us how to get out. O Gopinath, Lord of the Gopis, please hear my request. I am a wicked materialist, always addicted to worldly desires, and no good qualities do I possess. O Gopinath, you are my only hope, and therefore I have taken shelter at your lotus feet. I am now your eternal servant. O Gopinath, how will you purify me? I do not know what devotion is, and my materialistic mind is absorbed in fruitive work. I've fallen into this dark and perilous worldly existence. O Gopinath, everything here is your illusory energy. I have no strength or transcendental knowledge, and this body of mine is not independent and free from the control of material nature. O Gopinath, this sinner who is weeping and weeping begs for an eternal place at your divine feet. Please give him your mercy. This is the requirement. This is the requirement. O Gopinath, this sinner who is weeping and weeping begs for an eternal place at your divine feet. Please give him your mercy. It was like I was crying as a child, and I was kicking my feet, and I was frustrated, and I was holding my breath and turning red in the face, and my mother just beat me. I was totally frustrated like this, and I was crying and crying. So now I have to learn to cry for Krishna. I have to learn to cry for Krishna. Therefore, my beloved Shiksha Guru Gaura Govinda Swami would say, we have opened up a school for crying. This is a crying school. You have to learn to cry for Krishna now. You understand? Krishna's Antajami. He's the indweller, the Paramatma, the super soul in the heart. He knows what you are crying for. He knows. When you were crying for those material things, he heard your cry. And you got it. Your material desires, you got them fulfilled by his help. He helps you. He helps you get an education. He helps you get those material things. He helps you get a husband. He helps you get family. He helps you. Those things are all given by him. They're his gifts to us. And if you didn't get it in this life, you get it in your next life. Whatever. According to your activities, you're getting some result. And the results are given by him alone. He's giving the result. He even said, even if you think you worship the demigod and you think demigod is giving, he said, you're bewildered. The results are given by him alone. The results to your sinful activities are also given by him. Everything is given by him. He's giving his mercy. You understand? So we have to go. Time is up. Oh, please excuse. Only just started. So everything is given by him. We have to understand this thing. This is the truth. This is the truth. We come to Krishna consciousness and we have to hear the truth. So the guru teaches us, what is our relationship with this material world? What is our relationship with Krishna? What is this Maya? You have to understand, what is this Maya? Huh? Bhaktivinoda Thakur then writes, he prays, O Gopinath, you are able to do anything. You are able to do anything, and therefore you have the power to deliver all sinners. Who is there more of a sinner than myself? He's feeling himself this way. He's putting himself under the magnifying glass. Let's have a good look at me. Me. Let's have a good look at me. You know, what is my qualification? What's been my motivation so far? What's the quality? What's the condition of my heart? Oh, Gopinath, you are an ocean of mercy. Having come into this phenomenal world, you expand your divine pastimes for the sake of the fallen souls. O Gopinath, I am so sinful that although all the demons attained your lotus feet, Bhaktivinoda has remained in worldly existence. So I'm here, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, but I'm still in worldly existence. I'm still in worldly existence, I'm still suffering the pangs of material existence again and again. What's going on? I'm not surrendering. I haven't surrendered. I'm still thinking I can get something. I'm still getting bewildered. Oh, Gopinath, please remove the torment of worldly existence. I can no longer tolerate the pain of ignorance and the repeated succession of births and deaths. I can see I'm being bewildered. I can see I'm completely bewildered. But who's going to help me? Can you help me? Can you help me? No. Only Krishna can help you, Prabhu. Only Krishna can help you. Take shelter of Krishna. Take shelter of Krishna's representative, Gurudev. Take shelter of the parampara, all the great acharyas. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Jagannath Das Babaji. Pray to them. Ask them, please help you. Please help you. Oh, Gopinath, I am a servant of lust. I am a servant of lust, Gopinath. Worldly desires are weakening. Awakening in my heart. It's completely awakening in my heart. And the noose of fruitive work is beginning to tighten. I can feel it. I can feel it on my neck. I can feel it on my neck. Oh, Gopinath, when will I awake? When will I wake up and abandon afar this enemy of lust? And when will you manifest yourself in my heart? When am I going to wake up from this nightmare? When am I going to wake up? When am I going to get out of here? Oh, Gopinath, I am your devotee, but having abandoned you, and thus having forgotten my real treasure, I worship this mundane world. Now, money, name and fame, position, prestige, enjoyment. I'm bewildered. I'm running after all these things. Like this, I'm worshipping this world. I'm not worshipping Gopinath. Oh, Gopinath, you know everything. Now, having punished your servant. Yeah, you've inflicted punishment on me. Very good. Please give him a place at your lotus feet. Oh, Gopinath, I've had enough. I surrender. Please help me surrender. Please help me. O Gopinath, is this your judgment, that seeing my averse to you, you abandon your servant and don't bestow even a particle of mercy on him? You know, I feel like I'm not getting any mercy. You feel like you're getting the mercy? I don't feel like I'm getting any mercy, Prabhu. Why? Because my mind still has lust in it. And if I have lust in my mind, I can't get Krishna. I can't really get Krishna, you know. And if there's a trace of lust, then there can't be love for Krishna. Then there can't be love for Krishna. I haven't got love for Krishna. I haven't got it. Oh, but Prabhu, you're chanting Hare Krishna. It's all a show. Oh, Gopinath, you are indeed the wisest person. Please look for a way to bring about auspiciousness for this fool. I'm a fool. Please help me. And please do not consider this servant as an outsider. No, I'm your devotee. But somehow or another, I'm drowning in this ocean of material existence. Please help me. Ayinandatanuja kinkaram patitam mam visame bhavambado. O son of Maharaj Nanda Krishna, I'm your eternal servitor. But somehow or other, I'm drowning in this ocean of material existence. Please pick me up. Please pick me up. O Gopinath, I have no means of success. But if you take me, having bestowed your mercy upon me, then I will obtain deliverance from this world. Do I have any other way of deliverance? Oh, by my sadhana. By my strength. I tried. Forget it. I failed. The only way is to cry. To cry at the lotus feet of Krishna. Oh, Gopinath, I have fallen into the perils of material illusion. Wealth, wife, and sons have surrounded me, and lust has wasted me away. I've been wasted away like this, and I'm completely bewildered. I'm thinking I'm okay. And I'm not okay. I'm not okay at all. I'm not okay. At any moment, lust will drag me away. I'm in a very, very dangerous situation. I'm walking on a razor's edge. I'm in a dangerous situation. Krishna, please help me. Oh, Gopinath, my mind is crazy and does not care for any authority. It is always senseless and has remained in the dark pit of worldly affairs. This is the state of my mind. This is the state of my mind. I try to control my mind. It's impossible. Arjuna, he told Krishna. Krishna said, you control the mind. And Arjuna said, it appears to be more difficult than controlling the wind. I mean, what do you do? Put your hands up? Stop. Is it possible to control the wind? Is it possible? No, it's not possible, is it? Who can control the wind? Krishna. Krishna can control the wind. Oh, Gopinath, how shall I make any advancement when my mind has become under the control of powerful senses and does not abandon its attachment for materialism? It's not abandoning its attachment for materialism. My mind just doesn't want to go there. It just doesn't want to go. I'm kicking and kicking and kicking and screaming. But it just doesn't want to go. It just won't cooperate. Oh, Gopinath, you are Rishikesha, the Lord of the senses. Seeing me so helpless, I'm so helpless. Please control these senses of mine and deliver me from the dark and perilous worldly existence. Oh, Gopinath, the noose of materialism has become fixed around my neck. Taking the sword of your mercy and cutting this bondage, make this Bhaktivinod your humble servant. Well, here we can understand what is our situation here. This is our situation. We're in a very difficult situation. You can't get out. Only by the mercy of Krishna. And you have to cry. Why should you cry? Why should you cry? You cried because you had developed greed for material things. You wanted those things and you cried for them. When I was a young teenager, I wanted a motorcycle. And I didn't just want anyone. I wanted a really good motorcycle and really costly. And I cried. And after some time, Krishna arranged the finance. I got along. And I fulfilled my desire to get that motorcycle. I cried because I wanted to get married. I wanted to be with some lady. And I cried. And after some time, Krishna made arrangement. And I cried. I needed some income. I needed some income. And I cried. And generally, it happened. I got the income I required. And even though I got all of these things, I had some temporary relief. I had some temporary relief from the blazing fire of material existence. But ultimately, I'm not free from that blazing fire of material existence. Now I have to develop greed for Krishna. Because I understand, by the mercy of Krishna, has been very merciful to me. He's very merciful to me. I cried for Guru. I cried, Krishna, please help me. Send me a teacher that will help me. And he sent me. He sent me. And now I understand that the only thing that's going to help me now is to get Krishna. I have to get Krishna. I have to get love for Krishna. There's no other way. But is it easy to get Krishna? Is it easy to get Krishna? No, it's not easy to get Krishna. Because you have to be finished with all other crying. You have to be finished with it. You have to be finished with these material desires. Have you had enough yet? Have you had enough yet? No. No. You may say, yes, yes. But how much are you really crying from within your heart? You can say, no, I've had enough. From the lips. From the lips, you can say. Like that. But this material attachment's got a very strong hold. It goes very deep within the heart. It goes very deep within the heart. And it's kind of very difficult to get rid of. You want to be the hero or something. You want name and fame. You want to this or that. Those things are there. Look at your motives. They're still there. Something is there. And we have to get free from this thing. And we have to pray to Krishna. Thakur Bhaktivinoda has written another very nice prayer. Kabe habi bolo se dinama. When or when will that day be mine? You have to develop hankering. Just like you hankered for material things, you have to develop the hankering. When will that day be mine? You study these songs. When will that day be mine? And he's written one very nice song, a shorter song. Hankering for spiritual perfection. It's called Siddha Lalasa. That's the heading of many songs. But this song goes, when will I wander weeping under the shade of various trees and creepers on the banks of the Ganges in the land of Nabadweep, crying, O Radha, O Krishna, forgetting all physical comforts. I will even take my meals by begging at the homes of the Chandalas and will drink the water of the Saraswati. In ecstasy, I will roll on the ground along the banks of the river, raising an uproar of Krishna, Krishna. Bowing down to the inhabitants of the holy land of Navadvip, I will beg a bit of their mercy. I will wear the dress of a mendicant and smear the dust of the Vaishnava's feet on my body. I will see no difference between the inhabitants of Braja, Bhumi, and those of Navadvip, and I will be transformed into a resident of Braja. The true nature of the Lord's abode will manifest itself in my eyes, and I will become a maidservant of Srimati Radharani. So we have to understand what our situation is and how we have to get out of here. It's not an easy thing. It's not an easy thing to get out of here. You know. And you have to cry. And you have to develop hankering and greed for it. The transcendental greed. You understand? That is the transcendental greed. The acharyas are teaching us what this greed is. It's not a greed for big temples, though that is a spiritual activity. It's not a greed that we become very famous and prominent in society and have lots of followers. That's not the greed. You have to develop a different kind of greed. We may do that thing for the help of others, for caring for others. We want to bring them to Krishna so that they may get relief from the material existence. But the transcendental greed is a loving relationship with Krishna. It's to have a loving, eternal relationship with Krishna. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur is showing this thing. When will that day come when I will get the mercy of the residents of Vrindavan, of Navadvip, and I will call out Radha and Krishna and see myself as their eternal maidservant? Like this. That transcendental greed has to be awakened. If that greed is not awakened, then you will not be able to get out. Any question? Better finish there.